Bring Christian greetings to each of you tonight again in the name of Jesus. It's good to see you all back again. May the Lord be pleased to be in our midst and speak to us through his word. I appreciated the devotional that our brother shared with us. Would have enjoyed listening some more. Reaching the hurting among us. There's a sense where I would rephrase the title to Reaching the Hurting. I think maybe it doesn't heck out or focus only on certain people quite that much. But I'm sure the committee had a reason for the title, and that is the title that was given to me, Reaching the Hurting Among Us. I want to say that all of us are hurting to some degree. All of us are hurting to some degree. I would say that I would not advise trying to isolate or really determine who is hurting among you. That happens by default. We know each other. But I would like us to rather just simply look at this collectively, because all of us are hurting to a degree. Sometimes we may pinch our finger, we get a splinter, a small hurt. We're still hurting. The next time it may be something deeper. So throughout, in a brotherhood among us, would put our focus among us. In a brotherhood, there are varied degrees of pain and hurt. And it's a responsibility of all of us to reach out to all of us, is the focus that I would like to, or the platform and the foundation I would like to start on. I would like to look, before we look more directly at reaching the hurting, I would like to look at what is the cause, or why do we hurt at times? What is the reason that we hurt? Why pain? Why suffering? For that, I would like for you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. I would like to read just a few verses in Genesis chapter 3. Why pain? Why suffering? Why hurt? Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. You'll recognize this. Genesis chapter 3 is the fall of man. Genesis 3, 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shalt bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Read a few more verses there. Why pain and suffering? Because sin entered into the human race. And the earth, as well as mankind, came under the curse of sin. Sin entered the human race, and that's why it is. And I think sometimes, and I don't want to get real deep on this here. I'm not going to take the time to do that. But I think sometimes we get a little mixed up on this point. I like to think of it this way. God knows without a doubt what happens in our lives. He knows what happens. But God is not out to destroy his people. There are testings that come, yes. We are tested. But the reason for this hurt is because of sin and the curse. It's the reason for hurt. That's the reason there is pain. God allows it to happen, yes, and he could stop it, and that gets us all twisted up at times. But there's coming a day when the curse is going to be removed, and God will have his way again. And it will all be good. It will all be good. Jesus came into the world, came as a sacrifice for sin. While today we are living in earthly bodies, Genesis 3 says, you came out of dust, you're going to return to dust. Our bodies, this tabernacle we have, is going to die. Someday we're going to die if the Lord doesn't come before our death. We're going to die. But Jesus came to provide a freedom and forgiveness for the sin of our spiritual man, that our spiritual man can be renewed and regenerated here, that we do not have to die eternally. In other words, there's a separation of the body, of how we're living today in the tabernacle, of our body, and also of our spiritual man. However, the person that has given his heart to the Lord today, and he dies in the Lord, his soul and his spirit go to heaven to be with the Lord, and his body is buried. When the Lord comes again, at the resurrection, the body will rise again to the glory of God. Why pain and suffering? Because of sin. Because of sin. But one day, brothers and sisters, that sin and the curse of that sin is going to be removed. And there will be freedom and joy beyond what we can comprehend. Now, turn with me to Luke chapter 10. For the bulk of the message, I'd like to read the story in Luke chapter 10 and draw our thoughts from this, reaching the hurting. I just wanted to bring that out at the outstart in the introduction. While pain and suffering abounds in the world around us, it also touches the children of God as well. It also touches us. We are living in the flesh. None of us is exempt from it. And at one time or another, we will experience a crisis or we will experience pain in our heart. And as I understand the title tonight, when one of us experiences pain and hurt, how do we respond? You know, sometimes, you know, back when I was young, my dad would raise turkeys. And we had a little turkey house. It wasn't very big. We would have maybe 20, 30, 40 turkeys in there. And you know what? When one of those turkeys would develop some kind of a sore or something on its back, the other turkeys just would peck at it. You know, they would just go for it. We don't want that in brotherhood, do we? We do not want that. That's not what God teaches us. I remember I remember some time ago, we used to live close to Middle Creek Wildlife Area, and the snow geese would fly up there by the thousands. And I remember one time as a family, we were driving the road, and I saw, I think the snow geese had already been gone for quite a while already. I forget now if it was a Canadian goose or a snow goose, but there off to the side of the road was just a couple geese. Oh, what? The rest of them are gone. And then here I noticed that one of them was hurt. And as I understand it, that's how geese will operate. And one of them or a couple of them will stay behind and the rest of them leave. And they'll stay with the hurting one. Well, that is wildlife reaching the hurting. I'd like to read the story of the Good Samaritan. We call him in Luke chapter 10. And we'd like to draw some points from this subject, share with you what God has laid on my heart in relation to this. It's a broad subject, but I trust the Spirit will speak to your heart and bring to you inspiration. Luke chapter 10 and verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And we saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do likewise. Reaching the hurting among us. The individual who has the love of God in his heart will have an impact on others around him. He will encourage others by his person, brighten others with his smile, and lighten their burdens by his actions. I'll say that again. The individual who has the love of God in his heart will have an impact on others around him. He will encourage others by his person, brighten others with his smile, and lighten their burden by his actions. I saw within your midst today, reaching the hurting. I was blessed by it. And I thought to myself, the brothers and sisters at Great Lakes know how to do it. They know how to do it. But as was mentioned this morning, we're leaky vessels. And it's good to be reminded and encouraged and strengthened. And God bless you. God bless you so much for your care and reaching out to one another. And reaching out to the community. God bless you abundantly for it. I'd like to notice, who was the Samaritan? Who was the Samaritan in this story? What do we know about him? Reaching the hurting among us. The Samaritan reached out to the hurting man. Who was the Samaritan? The Samaritan was a person who would have been accustomed to rejection. He was a person that most likely knew what it felt to be rejected and scorned. The Samaritans were despised by others, by the Jews, in part because of their Gentile ancestry. But the Jews despised them, and this man knew what it was to be rejected. What are some lessons we can learn from this man? We're talking about reaching the hurting among us. And what I'm trying to point out is this. We're going to get to it in just a moment. I'm getting ahead of myself just a little bit. What I understand and what I learned about this road in my study was this road was very steep that the Samaritan was on. It started out about 2,500 feet above sea level at Jericho, at Jerusalem. And at Jericho, down to Jericho, the sea level, it was about 825 feet below sea level. And this drop was made in about 18 miles. This was a steep journey. There was climate change on this journey. The Samaritan was on a journey. Think about it. He was a man that was most likely accustomed to rejection. He was a man that was on a journey. It was a steep, dangerous journey. The same thieves that beat up the man laying beside the road, the same thieves, no doubt, were hiding in the bushes somewhere when he went by, too. But he was risking the journey. He was on this journey. Furthermore, we're going to notice that he had supplies with him. He had supplies with him. Why did he have these supplies along? No doubt that he was prepared to take care of his own injuries that may have happened. But in the end, instead, he shared with the other wounded man. We'll get to that in a moment. Point number one is this. Reaching the hurting among us. Looking at the Samaritan as an example, the Samaritan was willing to reach out beyond the obstacles in his own life. He was willing to reach out beyond the obstacles in his own life. Bitterness could hardly have been part of his experience. Hardly. I said before, perhaps his own journey of pain and hurt caused him to have compassion on the wounded man. Painful and traumatic experiences in life will either cause one to become bitter or they will cause one to become better. And you heard that before. But to reach the hurting among us compels me to reach out beyond the obstacles in my own life. If you're going to wait until the time is right, the time will probably never be right. If you're going to wait until everything lines up to say the word or to write an encouraging letter or to do that kind deed, you will probably almost always be too busy. Reach out beyond the obstacles in your own life. You say, I don't know what to say. Who am I? That may be true. But do something. Reach out beyond the obstacle. God is looking for men and women who are willing to be instruments of encouragement, even amid their own pain. Reminds me of what my brother told me. They went to visit, or they went to a viewing of a young couple who was, their son was killed very, very suddenly. Young lad. And my brother said, you know, he said, as we were going through the viewing line, the mother of this child, you know, My brother and his wife were going through pain, too, due to a wayward son. But he said, you know, he said, we come through the viewing line, and the mother reached out to my wife. How are you doing? How are things with you? Reaching the hurting. Who was reaching who? Who was reaching who? Reach out beyond the obstacles in your own life. Touch the life of another person. And I know, I would like to say that what I say tonight, I think you will understand me when I say this, but there are boundaries to what I'm saying. There are boundaries to, there are limits at times. There are times where, I trust you know what I mean when I say that. Sometimes there are boundaries. But reach out. I'd like to mention again this man's obstacles. He was acquainted with rejection. He was on a journey. It was a dangerous one. It was a steep journey. And he made this steep journey with a wounded man with him. He picked up the wounded man and made the journey with the wounded man. Jesus is a perfect example of this. While he hung on the cross, he reached out to his mother and to the thief by his side and to others. In his own pain, he reached out to others, reaching the hurting. Number two. These points are so elementary. But the Samaritan saw the wounded man. The Samaritan saw the wounded man. Sometimes we are too busy to even notice the struggling soul beside the road. You see, the wounded man was lying there helpless. The Bible tells us he was half dead. Have you ever felt emotionally half dead? Maybe you felt half dead physically already. You felt that way. Feelings are fickle, but maybe you actually were feeling real bad. And do you know how you felt when someone reached out to you and just said something little? But you know, for them to say something to you, they saw you. They saw you. They saw you. Sometimes I can be so busy, quite often I can be so busy that I forget to see the pain in my wife's eyes. I forget to see my child who is struggling. I forget to see the brother who I greet, and his usual smile is different. We need brethren and sisters among us who are willing to see. And what I'm saying, when I say this, I'm not saying that we should be jump to conclusions, we should be surmising. No, that's not what I mean. I mean, when you shake someone's hand and you know them enough, you have a relationship with them, and you feel something is different. You feel something is different. And just a simple word, how are you doing? How are you doing? Obviously, we have different levels of relationship. Saw the wounded man. 1 John 3:16-17. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brethren have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. number three. Well, before I move to number three, I wanted to point out this. I would like to ask this question. Does the journey you are on, does the journey that you personally are on hold more importance to you than the wounded man by the road? You see, the priest and the Levites, the religious of the day, saw him too, but they didn't reach out to him. You know, they came so far as to come over and look, and then they went their way. Sometimes I think we do better by just simply we do more of just going and looking and getting a good picture of what we've seen and informing others down the road that, you know what, there's somebody laying back there. Not so among the Christian Brotherhood. If we're going to say about someone laying back there, let's be getting more people to come help. The wounded man by the road. Much damage can be done by simply coming and looking and not doing anything. Number three. The Samaritan was moved with compassion. Verse 33. He saw the man. He came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. What does compassion mean? Compassion means to have the bowels yearn. It means to feel sympathy, to pity. Do you know what it feels like when there is a hurt among the family of God and your stomach hurts? Your stomach hurts. That is the bowels yearning. That is what the Bible is talking about. Where it moves us. We hurt. And we just want to take the pain away somehow for them. But we can't. Compassion. To reach the hurting, one needs to develop a heart of compassion for the needs of others. And we can reach others maybe without being compassionate, but it no doubt will have a different feel. A selfish person will hardly be a compassionate person. A compassionate person will hardly be a selfish one. A compassionate person is one who is willing to listen to the wounded heart. As I shared before, being willing to listen, being willing to hear. When the heart is moved with compassion, it goes to the aid of the wounded. Hebrews 12, verses 12 to 14. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for their feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Compassionate. Reaching the hurting. You know, the more that I work with people, the more I'm becoming aware that I think one of the most important things we can do in reaching those who are hurting is to listen to them. So often we feel like we maybe need to provide the answer, or we want to give suggestions, and sometimes we need to do that depending on the need. But sometimes listening to them and really listening to them gives them the next step on the rung that gives them courage for the next moment. Compassion, being willing to listen. My mother was a compassionate woman. She's no longer here. But I remember her so much and her deeds and what she did. There was a man from her their congregation who lost his wife. His wife passed away. And for a long time, he had a standing invitation at my mom and dad's house. This was after most of us were married and gone. He had a standing invitation. I forget what it was. Tuesday night, I think. He went to my parents' house for supper. A standing invitation. And my mom enjoyed that. She loved that. How can we bind up the wounds of others? How can we bind up their wounds? Point number four is this. Reaching the hurting, the Samaritan gave of what he had to meet the need of the wounded man. He bound up his wounds. I see gentleness. He poured in oil and wine. I see tenderness. He set him on his own beast. I see this as being observant. Set him on his own beast, provided for him, gave of himself for the wounded man. He brought him to the inn. He took care of him. I figured up a little bit here the cost of this, and in today's wage, it would have been about 2 days of 2 days' wage that he paid for this, to have this man stay at the inn. To reach those who are hurting, one must be willing to first forego my own selfish desires. Be willing to become involved. Just capping three things on this point. Giving a listening ear, noticing their needs and offering to help, by communicating words of love and care, not being judgmental and critical, and also by having something to give. Having something to give. We've been blessed today by your congregation giving to us. God bless you so much. I believe this man was an humble man. You know, we need to have humility in our church family. Sometimes pride is there in the church family that distorts or dilutes, or I don't know what word you want to give it, the compassion and the love that God would have flow between the members. But there can be pride there. There can be lust of station. There can be jealousy. Why are they reaching out? I'm to reach out. I want to reach out better. No, we must be humble people. Does it really matter who puts the man on the donkey? Who did it? You know what matters is that someone did it, and we're going to support the man who did it. But that all of us would do it if we were there, reaching the hurting. The Samaritan gave what he had to meet the needs of the wounded man. Number five. The Samaritan cared enough that he was willing to stop back and see how things were going. He cared enough. He was willing to stop back and see how things were going. Again, humility is needed. He was engaged in caring for this man. Caring for the hurting is an ongoing opportunity. An ongoing opportunity. Do not get weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 9 of Galatians 6. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. It takes time. It takes time to reach the hurting. It takes time to stop back and see how things are going. And if the innkeeper spent more than what we gave, it takes time to reach into our pocket and to pay some more. To pay some more. But life is important. Church brotherhood, church family. We are here to serve the Lord and to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We are here to reach out to others. And as I speak, I feel the need in my own heart to do more. To do more for those around us. For those in the church family that I'm a part of. Maybe some cautions. Do not become overbearing. Do not become overbearing. Listen to the individual's needs. Perhaps this evening isn't a good time to stop over and talk. Do not become overbearing. Be sensitive to their feelings. Give them space, but be there for them. There are so many varied degrees of hurt, or varied levels of hurt. Individual who may have lost a loved one. Sometimes the best thing we can do is just sit with them. Just be there. Another thing is, God's word is truth. God's word is encouragement. Sharing with the hurting the truth of God's word. And I say this not to lift myself up. It just comes to my mind now as I'm speaking. Many years ago, my father had numerous operations, and at one particular time I went to see him. He had his operation and he was in intensive care and he was on a ventilator, and they were trying to remove the ventilator from him, but as soon as they would take one of the medicines away, his breathing would stop. And it's that fine juggle. And I walked into the hospital and asked about him. The nurses came and they said, "Oh, you're his son." Oh, and they wanted me to come back right away. They said, "Maybe you can," forget their words exactly, something about you can calm him or something. And, you know, at times like that, we're sort of nervous, aren't we? We're sort of worked up. And I just felt like the best thing I could do is probably read Psalm 23. And I stood beside my dad and I read Psalm 23. I did not know if my dad was even with it enough. But you know, to this day, he will say, we talk about his hospital experiences and we talk about what he maybe knew or different times, talk about what was happening. And he says, "Was that the time you read Psalm 23 to me?" He knew. He knew. I say that to say, God's word is life. It is truth. Reaching the hurting. Let us reach the hurting with the word of God. Yes, there's a place for good books and all that, yes. And let's not come, and I said this before, but just want to say it again. Be an humble person. Do not come with a looking down attitude. I have the answer for you. But be there with a listening ear. In conclusion, just to recap, to reach the hurting, one needs to be willing to reach out beyond the obstacles in his own life. He needs to be observant to the needs of those around him. He needs to reach the hurting. To reach the hurting, one needs to develop a heart of compassion for others. Reaching the hurting requires giving. Caring for others who are hurting compels one to follow up. I would like to read in closing the song, True Evangelical Faith. True evangelical faith cannot lie sleeping, for it clothes the naked. It comforts the sorrowful. It gives to the hungry food, and it shelters the destitute. It cares for the blind and lame, the widow and orphan child. That's true evangelical faith. It binds up the wounded man. It offers a gentle hand. We must become everything to all men. Abundantly we have received, and gratefully we will respond. So overcome evil with good, return someone's hatred with love, become everything to all men. Become everything to all men. Be a vessel that God can use. Be one who is willing. At the same time, do not neglect the children and the home that God has given to you. Sometimes people can be too busy. That they neglect the hurt at their doorstep. I just want to throw that out. Let's be willing to be used of God. Let us kneel to pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you at the close of this service. Lord, we thank you for your love. Without you, we could do nothing. Gentle, help us to be willing to be used. Thank you for individuals that have reached out to me, that you have blessed them. Thank you for those that reached out to our family today. Bless their hands. Pray that you have blessed the congregation here at Great Lakes in a special way, as they reach out to each other, binding up each other's wounds and lifting up the hands that hang down. Pray that your Spirit would work mightily among them, and that love would flow between the church family. Pray that you would bless the leadership in a special way as they lead out and direct. As they're examples to the flock of what it means to be servants, pray that you would bless them, give them grace for their journey. So we pray in Jesus' name, amen.